Bangladesh by 109 runs Thursday to advance to the semifinals at the Cricket World Cup. Batting first at the Melbourne Cricket Ground in Australia, India compiled a daunting total of 302 for six, built on the back of man of the match, Rohit Sharma. Rohit, one of the most dangerous batsmen in the world, hit a dazzling 137. India joins South Africa in the semifinals, and the defending champions will face either Australia or Pakistan, who meet on Friday in Adelaide. The Proteas of South Africa, meanwhile, await the winner of Saturday's quarterfinal between New Zealand and the West Indies in Wellington. This marks the first time South Africa has reached the semifinals at the Cricket World Cup. And as South African captain A.B. de Villiers said on Wednesday's Sunny Side of Sports show, the ultimate goal for the Proteas is to lift the World Cup trophy on March 29th in Melbourne. In African youth football, here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Flying Eagles of Nigeria, who are one victory away from their record-extending seventh African under-20 title. The Nigerian boys beat Ghana Wednesday 2-0 in Dakar, Senegal. The Flying Eagles now await the winner of Thursday's semifinal in Dakar between Mali and host Senegal. Nigeria got goals in each half from Obinna Nwabodo and Musa Mohamed to book a place in Sunday's final. Speaking after the match, Nigeria's head coach Manu Garba said, and I quote, "The best team won. We created a lot of chances and could have scored more than two. Our objective is to be champions, and whether it's Mali or Senegal, we're ready for them." Zimbabwe's recent expulsion from the 2018 World Cup qualifying competition marks a new low for football in the southern African country. World Football's governing body, FIFA, gave Zimbabwe the boot for failing to pay a former coach. Football and other sports have been in dire financial straits for years in Zimbabwe. Hope Chisuzu, a sports journalist in the capital, Harare, says the FIFA ban is the culmination of years of administrative problems.
This certainly has nothing to do with the ability to pay or not to pay, which would mean that this is an administrative issue. And there are several such administrative issues that are also causing more problems.
Zimbabwe sports journalist Hope Chisuzu says there will also be more problems now when it comes to Zimbabwe football development.
It could have very debilitating effects on our game. The fact that we won't be participating in the World Cup, it means there will be very little football that will be played downstream, meaning that most of our junior players, those in the age group 17 to 23, would certainly be affected.
Meanwhile, one of those expressing sadness over the FIFA decision is our African football guru, David Legg.
Well, as somebody who traveled extensively after independence in 1980 with the Zimbabwe national team, this is a particularly personally sad story for me, and I think to some extent really unnecessary. There were good times in Zimbabwe. The money was flowing, but clearly it hasn't been invested properly, and now we're reaping the whirlwind. Things have got really bad, Sonny. It's so bad that some of the beds at the National Training Center just outside Harare have had to be sold to defray some costs. And apart from owing over $60,000 to the Brazilian coach, Valinov, there are a number of other debtors. ZIFA, which is the National Football Association, are really in dire straits. And my concern, Sonny, is that it's not going to end with this World Cup debacle. Zimbabwe are about to play Cameroon in the All African Games qualifiers. They've got an Olympic Games qualifier coming up in the not too distant future against Swaziland. And there's also the issue of the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers, the draw for which will be made in April. My immediate concern now is, will Zimbabwe be able to compete in any of these competitions, or will they be forced to withdraw from them all? And there was a warning signal, Sunny, just a few months ago when Dynamos, who are by far the most popular and most successful club in Zimbabwe, they were unable to enter the CAF Champions League this year, which to me, again, was a real tragedy because they're a team that have done Zimbabwe proud. But total lack of funds, they just could not even contemplate entering the competition. And if you go back, Sunny, 2004, after a number of heartbreakingly close attempts, Zimbabwe finally qualified for the Africa Cup of Nations, and among their results was a victory over Ghana. And they've produced some great footballers down the years. I mean, I think, for example, of that very charismatic Liverpool goalkeeper of a decade or so ago. Bruce Cobbler actually was born in Zimbabwe and played for the Zimbabwe national team. I had the privilege of traveling on numerous occasions around Africa with Bruce Cobbler. And it was such a joy because even in the darkest moments, even after the heavy defeats, he would light up the room, he would light up the aisle in the plane with his comical behavior. And I think very professional, but at the same time, he didn't get down, he didn't get depressed when times were tough. And certainly, Sonny, a little bit of nostalgia creeping into my voice now. I miss those occasions. But yeah, not good news at all, Sonny, and perhaps unnecessary in a way. You know, when the good times are rolling, that's the time to stack the money away. So when the hard times come, there's some spare cash. And right now, it looks like there's a very deep, dark hole that Zifa have fallen down. And I think it's going to be a very difficult climb back up before they see some light at the end of the tunnel.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, commenting on some of the problems facing Zimbabwe football.
Hi, I'm Shegu Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports, from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game.
Game on, VOA sports fans. Our friend in Johannesburg, Mark Ouma, joins us now with an update on South Africa's national women's basketball team.
South Africa women overcame their limitations to recently qualify for the 2015 All-Africa Games and Africa Women's Basketball Championships, beating Zimbabwe and Botswana at the Africa Zone 6 contest in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe. Team manager Sibongile Maswanganye explains.
It was a good experience, and South Africa only played at the All-Africa Games in 1999 when we were hosting, and since then we haven't been playing into that competition because we haven't been qualifying. And also for the AfroBasket, the last time we played it was 2009 in Madagascar, and the competition was very tough. It has been difficult, and it has been dry for women basketball in South Africa. We don't have proper leagues that, you know, we are given a platform where we can develop the players. The only league that is there, it's school and at the tertiary levels. For us, you know, taking a team which has 7 rookies, it was a high risk. You know, nobody believed that we'll come back qualified. But nonetheless, you know, we promised ourselves that let's go out there and do our best and make sure that we come back with the ticket to both the All-Africa Games and the AfroBasket tournament.
Did you have any international matches to build up before you went to Zimbabwe? Remember, Zimbabwe was on their home turf.
And then we had about 3 training camps here at home. And one of the other camps that we had to travel to was to Mozambique. This was 2 weeks before we go to the qualifiers themselves. It was a good exposure for the young ones. Like Mozambique's structure in basketball, I must say, is very tough. And when we were there, I mean, there was no day when we go to the courts and the basketball courts were just not being busy. I mean, from 9 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, the courts are packed. I'm talking about from the age of 6 years old, 15 years old, you know, all age groups are there up until the seniors. But then the clubs that we played, they were very strong. So we came back, you know, very strong and understanding that when we go to Zimbabwe, it's not going to be on the silver platter. So only one team needed to qualify. And the Afro Basket is a qualifier for the Olympics.
That was Sibongile Maswanganye, South Africa women's basketball team manager, speaking in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Thanks, Mark. That's our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Mark Ouma, reporting from Johannesburg. Still with basketball, one of the most popular sporting events here in the United States, the men's NCAA Division I championship basketball tournament, has tipped off at arenas all across the country. The single elimination competition will culminate April 6th when a new national champion is crowned in Indianapolis, Indiana. The defending national champion, Huskies of the University of Connecticut, did not qualify this year. The top seeds for 2015 are Duke, Wisconsin, Villanova, and Kentucky, which is bidding to become the first team in almost 40 years to go undefeated and win the trophy. The last team to do it was the University of Indiana in 1976. Kentucky won 34 consecutive games during the season, and they'll begin the tournament later Thursday night when they play the underdog Pirates of Hampton University, which is located in the state of Virginia. Because of the sometimes crazy upsets that occur in the early rounds, with small schools knocking off bigger ones, this tournament is affectionately called March Madness. I'm VOA Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side.